Welcome back inside Talking Baseball alongside Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky. My name is Carey Crowley, and out at the ballpark this week, a great opportunity to catch up with a good friend of mine. He was back in the press box doing some freelance work for the Associated Press covering the Giants and Reds series. Of course, we had to have him on the pregame show. Chris Haft, how are you, sir?
Great, Carey. Thanks for the build-up. Great to be with you.
The kindest man in the press box. That's how I know you as, Chris. So thanks so much for joining us. And a real treat to see you back out there. Long career with MLB.com. And, of course, my old outlet, the San Jose Mercury News. And I want to ask you, how much enjoyment did you take getting back to the ballpark this week, seeing fans back in the stands, and just being back in your element?
You hit it right there on the head with that last statement, Carey, feeling comfortable again. It really felt like being at home. I have to say that. No two ways about it. I did feel at home.
Fantastic stuff, Chris. Now, I want to get going on this year's Giants team, but I also want to ask you a little bit about the differences you've seen in managerial styles from Bruce Bochy to Gabe Kapler. I know that that's kind of a loaded question because they are so starkly different, but what do you see as the main differences between the Giants' three-time World Series champion manager and the new man in town, and Gabe Kapler, who's in his second season and his first in front of this fan base?
Yeah, well, right now it looks like, Boch liked a platoon also. Mm-hmm. I mean, he maybe didn't go overboard with it, but when in doubt, it was lefty righty or righty lefty. Looking at the, of course the eras have changed. It's not too short to call. It's not too odd to call a 3-4 year period era, but. Just the way managers have used the bullpens has changed. Of course, some of that is enforced by the three-batter rule. But I see some differences between the way Boch is using the his bullpen versus the way Gabe uses the bullpen. Of course, Boch had the luxury of Boch went a little more with maybe set roles. But I do think Gabe is starting to try to find ways to get guys in roles. The differences show up because I think of the personnel. They're at different stages with different personnel. Boch had veterans who he knew would produce in a certain situation, and Gabe is still trying to figure out, okay, who can I rely on in the sixth inning or in the seventh inning, et cetera. So that might be the biggest differences there.
I think one of the biggest differences that I hear from fans is they're not accustomed to seeing all of these position player substitutions in the fifth inning, the sixth inning. When a team goes from the left-handed starter to a right-handed reliever and the Giants counter with Tommy La Stella, Alex Dickerson off the bench to get their left-handed bats in, and then they keep them in the game. Do you like that strategy of the mid-inning, the mid-game line change of going from your right-handed lineup to the left-handed lineup? Do you think it's sustainable?
Frankly, no. I'd like to see a guy play the whole game. Sometimes that's forced on the manager by the player's limitations or whatever. But I think with a younger team, at some point you got to figure out what you can get from a certain player. What his game is going to be. Boch knew what a guy's game was going to be. So he had, he had the luxury that Gabe doesn't of being able to draw from his experience. And the other thing about using the mid-game line change, there's more often than not you may run out of players at a certain period. So you better watch out with that stuff.
Well, Giants fans were not pleased when the team ran out of players on Saturday in the 7-6 loss to the Miami Marlins. One more on this year's team and kind of the differences between the Bochy and Kapler eras, Chris. I want to ask you, did you believe in the offensive renaissance that the 2020 team kind of had with Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford enjoying career years, Mike Yastrzemski, Alex Dickerson having the best seasons of their brief careers? Do you think that that can carry over into the 2021 season? In other words, do you believe that the coaches that Gabe Kapler hired made such a big difference in this team's output?
From everything I hear, and we're limited to secondhand knowledge, of course, Kerry, with the clubhouse access rules and stuff like that. But from what I hear, it looks like the coaching has helped, and the guys like it, Alex Dickerson, are able to show their, you know, display what they can do, you know, without interruption, but just get enough chances to display what they can do. There are few flukes in this game, Kerry, mm-hmm. as you've probably learned. If a guy hits, you know, maybe it's an outlier type. If a guy succeeds through an outlier type of year, a 10 homer hitter all of a sudden hits 25 home runs. Well, he was probably capable of hitting those 25 home runs. For some reason, he was able to, you know, push his way to the top to, you know, realize his talent. So I think of course, it was a 50-game season last year, right? 50, 60, whatever. So the Mike Yastrzemskis and Alex Dickersons, I think, are still developing in some mm-hmm. in a certain way. You know, at the major league level, it's tough place to develop. But you can do it, as Sly Stone used to saying, you can make it if you try. So.
Great stuff, Chris. We're talking baseball with Chris Haft. Long career, most recently covering baseball for MLB.com, Giants beat reporter, and now out this week doing some freelance work for the Associated Press. Chris, when did you start covering baseball in San Francisco, and where did you come from? Where was your previous stop, and what was your favorite Giants team to cover? What season was the most enjoyable for you?
First, I'll go with the boring stuff. The stuff about me. I came to the Giants beat in 2005, but I pretty much followed them all the way through my youth. They were quote unquote my team. Growing up, I, you know, almost saw them move to Toronto, almost saw them move to Tampa Bay, and then they stayed. So that was nice and wonderful. before covering the Giants, I covered the Houston Astros for three seasons, a very little part of a fourth, and then I went to Cincinnati, where I had spent some time very early in my career as a copy editor. Went to Cincinnati to cover the Reds for the Cincinnati Inquirer, and then after MLB.com started up, I jumped to them. So all in all, I have about 7 years with the Reds, and pretty much consider myself part of the furniture. You know. I thought I might cover the Reds most of the rest of my life, but opportunity called, you know, with your current employers, Kerry, and I seized upon it. And then it just worked out. I was able to go back to MLB.com, very lucky there. And, you know, that switch, my God, led me to, I think the final question you asked, favorite season, I have to go with 2010. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the first World Series championship. I'll try to tell a real quick story. I was sipping an adult beverage with Andy Baggerly the night before after the Giants won game four, the night before game five of the 2010 World Series. And Andy said, Chris, how many guys do you think have covered the Giants? Or how many people do you think have covered the Giants in their San Francisco history? Now, you actually start trying to answer his question literally. You know, Sacramento Bee, how many writers, you know, trying to name the writers on each team. I was coming up with blanks, and Andy explained what he meant. He said, do you realize we have a chance tomorrow to be the first, be among the first human beings to write the phrase 2010 World Series champion San Francisco Giants? I said, you know, kind of gave me chills, you know, from a writer's perspective, that we might get that kind of opportunity. And of course, we did.
Absolutely. That is one of my favorite stories on the beat. And it's one that when I joined the beat in 2017, covering the Giants for KNBR initially, and then the Mercury News in 2018, Bags told me that one right away. He said, you know, if you do this long enough, you might be lucky enough to cover a World Series championship club. And here's a story about Chris Haft and I sitting around in a hotel room in Arlington, Texas. And so I really do love that story. Another one before we let you go, Chris, and I think I know the answer to this one, but favorite Giants player to cover during your tenure covering the team?
Oh, you think you know the answer, huh?
I think I do.
There are a lot of guys. I mean, full disclosure, you kind of prepped me for this question. So I did a lot of thinking, you know, your Rich Aurelius, your Randy Wins, I mean, Lincecum Kane, Sergio Romo, Kevin Franson was a great guy, even though he didn't, was, you know, produce that much on the field. So, I mean, it's a 98-way tie for second place. You know, Boach, too, he treated me like gold. The guy I'm going to have to name didn't spend enough time with the Giants, at least I didn't think he did, but I'm sure a lot of the fans agree, was Matt Duffy.
Wow. There you go, Matt Duffy.
He brought such a hungry attitude for the game, you know, to the clubhouse every day. There was a day after, I think it was 2016, he was receiving treatment or something, so he was almost late for batting practice. So he literally ran to his locker from the training room, started lacing up his shoes, you know, like I'd never seen a guy lace as fast as I've never seen anybody do before. And he looked at me and he said, this is the key thing. It was like a April or May series against the Dodgers. So yeah, they're playing the Dodgers, but it's only April or May. But still, as he was lacing up his shoes, he said, "I love playing games like this." And I'm thinking, God, what a, you know, again, it's, a lot of guys feel that way, but what a passion for the game, you know. I mean, it was just great to see that. And I think the Giants lost something overall when they let go of him. But, you know, I could be overestimating, you know, maybe playing favorites there. But, you know, like I say, there's just a little bit there that set Matt apart, I think, from other guys. Not that other guys didn't have that same, let's go get him promotion, but, you know, Matt was so unabashed about it.
Well, no question, Chris. If you look at the Giants' record since that Matt Duffy trade, it's not very good. So I appreciate the answer. And, you know, I was going to guess it was Tim Lincecum because you introduced the two of us back after Bruce Bochy's final game. So I'll forever be indebted for you for that. And I'm so thrilled that I'll get to see you in the press box a lot more this season. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Jerry, thanks. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Fantastic stuff. Chris Haft, the kindest man in the press box at Oracle Park, and I'm so glad he's back out doing some freelance work. Up next, Giants pregame here on Talkin' Baseball. Mark Sanchez, Adam Copeland still to come alongside Marty and Bill. I'm Kerry Crowley. You're listening to Talkin' Baseball, KMBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.